You could think of HUNA in several different ways. One way you can think of it is a name for the shamanic system of ancient Hawaii. Another way you can think of HUNA is as a modern spiritual, psychological, and magical system based on the ancient teachings, ancient shamanic teachings of Hawaii. So in a way, HUNA is both ancient and it's also very modern. Two different things tend to happen to similar, all these psycho-spiritual traditions, especially the really old ones. One thing that happens is as time goes by, these traditions get watered down, they get taught from teacher to student, and every single time a teacher passes the tradition down to the next generation, he passes down a more watered-down version. Maybe he forgets to teach all of it, maybe he didn't know all of it in the first place. Maybe the students don't remember what the teacher taught them. Whatever the case, the tradition gets watered down until it turns into crap, basically. And another thing that can happen with these traditions is, as they get passed on from generation to generation, from master to student, outstanding students then learn everything they can from their teacher, and they add on new ideas, new concepts, new techniques, new insights into the system, so that the tradition becomes stronger with each passing generation. So you have the two things that can happen. One is a particular lineage of a system gets watered down from generation to generation, and another lineage of the same system can actually become stronger and stronger as it goes out through each generation, because students down the line can add new things, can experiment in new ways, and can come up with things that the old teachers didn't even think about, just because HUNA, like any other art, or in some ways like a science, for HUNA is both an art and a science, it can develop as time goes by so that it becomes a stronger tradition. Now, what we're doing here, we hope, is to actually transmit a tradition that's gotten stronger with each generation, and a tradition that can still grow, you can still add on to it, while retaining what's good from before, because you don't want it to go down the path of turning into crap because it gets watered down. You want to preserve everything that's good and strong about it, and if you add anything to it, you want to make sure that it doesn't interfere, it doesn't make the stuff that's already there any weaker. So you want to actually build upon this tradition. The word kahuna, you can actually translate several different ways, but one meaning it has is equivalent of the English word professor, someone who actually knows enough to teach about it. In other traditions, it's similar to words like guru, sensei. Similar words that denote a sort of authority figure, someone who has actually studied the material and who knows the techniques and can actually transmit them to students. But more important than these terms is the actual concepts in HUNA. And among the concepts in HUNA that I think are essential are the concept of the higher self, the middle self, and the lower self. Because a lot of the Westerners who studied HUNA and introduce HUNA to like the Western public were either hypnotists or psychologists heavily influenced by Freud. They decided that the equivalent in Western terms of the high self, the middle self, and the lower self, at least in Western psychological terms, were the conscious mind for the middle self, the unconscious mind for the lower self, and what they term the superconscious mind for the higher self. I'm not going to argue with these terms because they're useful enough for most people to understand what the HUNA practitioner means by a higher self, a middle self, or a lower self. There's a lot of books out there actually, and a lot of websites where you can actually find the definitions for what is a middle self or a conscious mind, what is a lower self or an unconscious mind, what is a higher self or a superconscious mind. So I'm gonna touch briefly on each of these minds and explain in general what they do, so that later on when we go into specific techniques and exercises, you can actually do them because you will understand what I'm talking about. Let's begin with the lower self, the unconscious mind. This is the place in your mind where you store all your memories, where you store all your emotions, the place that generates your emotions. It's also the place of your mind that controls your automatic, meaning everything that happens in your body and your mind automatically without your conscious will. It happens whether you want it to happen or not. By you, I mean your conscious mind. So it happens whether you consciously want it to happen or not. For most people, for example, most bodily functions, like the way your organs work, they work because your unconscious mind says so. You don't consciously make your kidneys work. Your unconscious mind is doing that for you. For most people, emotions happen unconsciously, meaning outside of their conscious will. Something happens to them and they feel a certain way automatically.